lesson this morning, Matthew chapter number 11. And I want to begin with, I left off the last time we had class with John's plea to his disciples to go out and ask Christ if he was the Christ or should they look for another. And I really just barely passed over one verse that I'm going to get, and then we're going on to verse 7. I'm going to look at verse 6, Matthew 11 and 6, and then we'll go through 7 on down through this discourse he has about John the Baptist and how it reflects on us some. Amen. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Amen. Blessed is he. Is everybody there? Got your old King James Bible open there looking at that? Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, who's he throwing that at? Well, that's what people say about preaching, you know. Who's he throwing that at? Well, the Lord was talking about John and giving a message back to John, because John had got discouraged with the times and the circumstances. You ever done that? I wonder if anybody, has anybody ever done that besides me? Anybody have a picture in your mind of how things ought to be and it didn't turn out that way? Well, does that change God? Let me ask you that. You see, it's a hard lesson to learn, and I had a hard time learning. I don't know if I've got it learned yet, but John was in prison, and I've heard people say, well, you know, maybe, but it's obvious he was in prison, and it was obvious to me that there was a kind of a cloud that came over him, and he wasn't ready to give up the faith. He believed in God and all. And he knew Christ was the gift of God, and he knew he was the Lamb of God. But to reinforce his feelings, he asked from those prison cell, and he, you know the whole deal. We went over it. He asked from the prison. You know, our prayers from prison are real important. You know that? When we're, Brother Mitch and we're going through it now. I asked an old preacher one time. I was going through trials. I couldn't hardly live through. I didn't know if I would. And I asked him, I realized I needed more faith. And so I asked this old preacher, you know, how do you get more faith? And he said, trials. I want to say, you got a plan B on that? What's another? You know, I was in a trial. I wanted to get out of a trial. But how many knows the trying of your faith, amen, is more precious than gold which perisheth? Huh? How many knows that? And so, faith that's not tried is not true. Amen. So, John had his faith tried. He was a great man. Lived out in the woods and studied, and he was just a very, very holy, sanctified, consecrated man. Had the fire of God, and Jesus pointed out to us that he came in the spirit of Elijah, the prophet that they admired so much. John was in the same mold as Elijah. But that verse I wanted to bring to us this morning, last time I taught, I went through this and I realized that I didn't spend enough time on this verse. Because this verse says, blessed is the man. Jesus said, tell John not to be offended in me. Blessed is the man that is not offended in me. You ever see anybody? I guess I may have been that way before. You live for God. God lays on you a burden of how to live, and then others don't live like that. And you almost get bitter toward them. If I have to do it, you do. Huh? That ain't the right spirit, is it? Is it? No, it ain't. You know, we live for the Lord because we love him. If nobody else does, we do it because we don't do it because, you know, out of grievances. We do it because we love the Lord. And he told John, And, you know, I mentioned to you this week about I'd been working on I'd had a little burden about bitterness, and I'd been doing a sermon. I'm probably not going to preach it now because I've gave you all my notes on it already, so it'd be just a repetition. And I told you about that preacher that called me this week and told me, you know, it's not anybody you'd really know, but I'd met him years ago, and he just called me out of the blue, and he just told me, he said, I'm bitter. He said, I've been hurt, and I'm bitter. I don't want to even go to church. I mean, he just bored it out, brother. He said, I don't even care for preachers anymore. And I was a preacher, you know. I thought I was. But he was wanting me to help, give him some, pray for him. And he said, he said, it's got so bad, I don't even want my family to go to church. I just told him, oh, I said, well, brother, I said, look, I've been praying about a sermon come on me about bitterness and the evils of it, and I said, you're just a living illustration of what I'm preaching. And he got kind of quiet, here's what I think the Lord was trying to tell John, don't be bitter, John. And John wasn't bitter. He was a great man, and he goes on to tell that. But he said, you know, life is not fair. How many knows life is not fair? This life's not fair. Amen. The equitable life will be the next life. Everything will be right there. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so he warned John. I guess, I don't know if you call it a warning or just a loving advice. Blessed is he who is not offended in me. How many knows if you serve the Lord, everybody won't love you for that? And you know, there's been thousands of people die for the gospel? I mean, their throat cut or burned at stake. First time I ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, I couldn't read it all. I said, Lord, have mercy. That's not the route I want to go. Am I being too honest here? How many of y'all wish y'all were in the Fox's Book of Martyrs? No, we don't. Huh? But a lot of people died in the catacombs and all those disciples, every one of them but John, according to history, every one of these disciples ended up dying for the Lord. And what he was saying was, now, it might get rough on you. You think Jesus knew that John was going to lose his head? Sure he did. Amen. He said, don't be offended. All right, I'm going to move on now. I got 10 more minutes here before they get the buffet ready for us. Okay. Now listen. He said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitude concerning John. And this is a good question. What went ye out in the wilderness to see? Amen. Here's these people coming, and he said, now look, what did you go out there for? What did you go out to see? You heard about John. Now, in your mind, and I'm going to tell you something, church. I mean, that old imagination is the largest nation on the planet. And you'd be surprised what people think about God and Christ and preachers in the church. Do you know that? How many knows you'd be surprised to know what people are thinking? He asked them, you know, they came out to hear John preach in throngs. Throngs of people come to hear him. And he said, what drove you out there? And then he gave them a few options here. He said, what went you out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaking in the wind? How many think they know the answer to that? You know, in the wilderness, I guess you look at it and you'd say, well, the wilderness is, that you're going to see a reed. How many thinks you might see a reed shaking in the wind out in the wilderness? Huh? Are y'all looking at me? Right? But he said, is that why you went out there? Just no. You could have done that any time. There was something drawing you out into that wilderness. It wasn't a reed shaking in the wind. Amen. In other words, and then he also could have been saying, what kind of man did you think John was when you went out there? Amen. How many has ever bragged on your preacher to somebody? Oh, you ought to come. He preaches nice. He preaches love. And you'll enjoy him. And then you get him and the preacher goes crazy. Preaches against toothpicks or something, you know. And then you think, boy, I wish I'd never. They said, why did you go out here? Why did you go out here to hear John? What was the reason? A reed shaking in the wind? And then he said, no. Then he gave him another answer. He said, What went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Did you think when you went to see John, you were going to see a man in nice, soft clothes? He said, no. No, not in the wilderness. No. John, how many knows that John was the description of him sounded kind of like a mountain man in a way. A J.C. Penney camel hair suit. He had just a camel skin and a leather girdle. And he was rough. And he ate, what was it Brother Scroggins said? He had cornbread and honey, but it's not. That's not the right. It was locusts and wild honey. And he said, is that what you went out to see? No. They that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea. A prophet? Yea. So evidently, he was saying, yes, you come out into the wilderness. We need revival, church. How many knows we do? We're not going to have revival if somebody just comes to see another reed shaking in the wind. That's not going to work. He's not going to come just to see someone in soft raiment or some kind of style or a fashion show. That ain't going to help our world. Amen. They came out to hear a prophet, and he said, yea. And here's what he said. A prophet, yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, now listen to what he said about John. Among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. He's talking about a good man here, a moral man, a good, devoted, moral man. He said, there's not been a better man come up among you than John the Baptist. But look what he said in that next phrase. What did he say? He said, nevertheless, or nonetheless. Look what he said. He said, nonetheless, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, there's a new kingdom. I hope I can preach to you 5 more minutes here. Amen. But he was saying there's a new dispensation coming. You know, John introduced this new dispensation, this new kingdom, the gospel of repentance to salvation. Amen. You know, they didn't receive it. How many knows that the kingdom of Christ, the God, kingdom of heaven, is still being rejected even today? Amen. So he said he's the greatest man you've ever known. He said, but those that are in the kingdom of heaven or those that are born again or those that are going to be in that millennial reign, amen, are greater than this man here. Because you know what they did to this man that introduced the kingdom? They cut his head off. Do you know what they did to the man that he said was ushering in this kingdom? They nailed him to a cross. Let's read a little more and I'll be done. The Bible said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you will receive it, this Elias, which was for to come, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto, I won't go into that. Running out of time here this morning. There's that word suffer again, which means allow. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. Now John, amen, preached pressing into the kingdom. He stood on the shores and he preached, bring me meat worthy of repentance. There is a life. Now I'm going to tell you, it's frustrating. I think it's frustrating to God, in a sense, amen, for people just to be religious, pick them a church that suits them, live whatever how they want to live, and that, brother, is frustrating, amen. How many knows you must be born again? And the Bible said you press the kingdom of God. It's not meat and drink. But it's love and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're born into the family and the body of Christ. And so he said, the kingdom of heaven suffered and violent. Now you say, well, what in the world does that mean? The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. You know, you mean they allow you to, like, y'all remember reading about a Methodist preacher, Cartwright? Was he a Methodist preacher? He had a unique way of winning the lost. Now, I'm not going to do this, but I don't think I am. But they said that he would take a man that was giving him a hard time, and he's trying to win him to the Lord, and Brother Cartwright took that man, And he dunked him under the water. And he said, would you like to be saved? And the man said, no. And he just put him under the water and held him. And he done that two or three times till before he got done. The man was really trying to get a hold of God. How many thinks that's not the right method to use? You remember the old preachers used to talk about compel them to come to the house of God. I know, I wouldn't doubt if it ain't probably half a dozen in here that's packing today. But I ain't going to borrow your pistol and hold it on somebody's head. Now, you get up there and you get right with God, or you're out of here, big boy. Yeah, no, that ain't what that's talking about, is it? Is that what it's talking about? But how many knows that you cannot be soft and make it to heaven? You have got to fight. You got to be violent. Huh? I said you got to be violent. The kingdom of heaven suffered violent, and the violent take it. The violent take it. You know, how many knows the church is a militant church? Huh? It's not like the Taliban. No. You know, it's not like Al-Qaeda that kill themselves, you know, for go to have young ladies waiting on them in another world. Now, that is nonsense. Here in a little while, because they're going to kill me over this. But I'm going to tell you, that's not the kingdom of God. Well, when it talks about suffering, the kingdom of heaven suffered violent, we've got to get up and get intent and get our armor on and fight our way through this. Amen? Amen? And so the kingdom of heaven suffered violent, and the violent take it by force. It's ours to have if we'll go get it. By the blood of Jesus Christ, the grace of God, amen, we can enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. Come on now. I'm not talking about church membership, because that does not help us. I'm talking about being in the army, in the family, in the body of Christ. Amen. And you know, the devil, he means business. How many knows he does? Praise God. Amen. So John came up till John. Amen. But now the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We have got to get militant about our experience. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. Let me read just a little more, and we'll go. Praise the Lord. Bible says, if you will receive it, this is Elias. If you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. John was not Elijah reincarnated. He just came in the spirit and calling and anointing of Elijah. Just as vital as Elijah's ministry was as a prophet, now John's is just as vital as the predecessor to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? Now that's talking about us, that we could in the generation that Christ lived. And I'm going to close right here. But I want you to look at the attitude of the people that were alive. Whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is likened to children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped, you have not danced, and we mourned, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man come eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man is a gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Amen. I'll deal with that some more later time. Stand with me this morning. God bless you for coming. And I'll tell you what, I'd like to, the kingdom of God has come to earth in our hearts, right here in our hearts. And we can press We can fight the good fight. We're not going to make it to heaven without pressing and violently taking what the devil has stole from us. How many's got that message this morning?